Yesterday, the prospect of Michael Flynn resigning as National Security Advisor, which he did last night, was a big story. But you wouldn't know it from watching President Donald Trump's press conference with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The president called on just two members of the American press. The first was local TV reporter Scott Thuman.
I'm curious, as you move forward on issues from trade to terrorism, how do you see this relationship playing out, and are there any specific areas with which during your conversation?
Well, NPR media correspondent David Fogenflik is here. And David, both Thuman from a TV station owned by Sinclair Broadcasting and a reporter from the Daily Caller, who was the second one asking a question, the conservative-leaning publication founded by Tucker Carlson, both have said they did not share questions with the Trump campaign, but your thoughts about neither asking about the biggest story of the day.
With the Trump White House, yes. Look, I think that Sean Spicer, the press secretary, and the communications folks at the White House don't need to vet the questions ahead of time if they know they're calling on people likely to be sympathetic. Sinclair Broadcasting, I used to cover them years ago when I was a reporter for the Baltimore Sun. They're based outside the city of Baltimore in Baltimore County. They're owned by a family of very conservative brothers, and they have essentially put in place at times the formula on the local news level, very similar to what Fox News has done on the national level. And their story selection and their approach to what is newsworthy, even if they're treating a story fairly, is more in keeping with what you might see on Fox News than what you might see in the pages of the New York Times or on CNN, which is to say they tend to be a little more tempered and protective of the Trump administration and a little bit more focusing on the administration's foes' wrongdoings or missteps. And so what you're seeing now is the White House consciously, while still taking questions from established news outlets, including at times NPR, is packing the newsroom with folks that are likely to ask softer or more sympathetic questions.
Well, last week, during his appearance with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, Trump called on a reporter from the New York Post, the Rupert Murdoch-owned paper, as well as one from Fox News. Which adds to your thinking.
That's right. I mean, at the moment, Rupert Murdoch is actually leading Fox News quite directly since the resignation of Roger Ailes. It's owned by 21st Century Fox, the corporate sibling of Murdoch's News Corp, which owns the New York Post. You're seeing Fox and its siblings. Fox Business had a reporter recently called on. You're seeing a number of figures. Newsmax, which was a rising and significant conservative news site. Its presence is being greatly elevated by being called on repeatedly by Sean Spicer at these White House press briefings. Breitbart is in the room frequently. Its reporters are called on. And you've seen recently a very conservative website that's championed Trump through the campaign season just receive a White House credential, as they had boasted some weeks ago.
And this was which website? I think I read about that today.
It was Jim Hoft's Gateway Pundit.
Gateway.
And he took a picture with his young White House correspondent and, tweeted how excited he was when he heard them talk about immigration restriction policies. It's not exactly what you would hear from a reporter for The Washington Post who had gained entry to the White House press room. Now, let's be clear. There have been point of view publications and outlets that have received passes in the past. The Huffington Post, which very much left of center, I believe, was first credentialed under George W. Bush's conservative administration. But you're seeing, to my mind, a kind of packing of the press room at this moment with reporters from outlets known to be already sympathetic to Trump. And I think that what we've seen of the emergence of the calling on local and regional news outlets, instead of giving us a flavor of regionalism, what it's really done is serve to tamp down on questions that national and major outlets can ask.
Well, David, and by the way, that was not your voice, which we can hear you're struggling with. Then there's the pictures from Mar-a-Lago. A lot of the information that came out about Donald Trump and Shinzo Abe's reaction to the North Korea missile test came out because a member of this exclusive club, Richard Diagazio from Boston, who just joined Mar-a-Lago for $200,000 a few months ago, according to the Boston Globe, was having dinner a couple tables away from the world leaders. And he posted pictures on his Facebook page of aides huddled around the table with cell phone flashlights on secure documents, diners looking on. He also posted a picture of a guy. He said, "This is Rick. Rick is the man. Rick has the nuclear football. He has the suitcase with the nuclear codes, and he's grinning on this diner's Facebook page." You know, people are talking about the security of that moment, but what about the access? Richard Diagazio of Boston had more access to that security dinner than the press did.
You know, I think I saw on Twitter a picture taken by a Univision reporter of Trump's sort of sitting at that essentially a banquet table as there was all this tumult, and you could see Steve Bannon and I think Flynn behind him, you know, people rushing to him to get him these documents. It's an astounding moment to be captured. But yes, you know, you have this access by people who've had to pay six figures to be able to be in the club owned by the president, who's in a sense hosting the Japanese prime minister at his private resort, but also in a sense highlighting the importance of his resort in the same moment. It seems like a breach of security. It's an astonishing way to get information. I am actually thankful for these images to get out because I like to see what our public officials do behind closed doors. But my heavens, that does not seem to me to be a secure way for them to guard national security information. And it's a very weird way for information to bounce through the social media echo chamber to get out through major news organizations.
A sort of a plein air, open air security meeting.
A fresco, I think, is what we're talking about.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Thanks as always, David.
You bet.